here in Pasuk Chafei. And tonight I think we'll actually finish Perek Tesvav, which took us 5 hours to finish in this class. I don't know, maybe a subconscious reason why it took us 5 hours to do is because it's my bar mitzvah after. And I have a feeling that even were that not the case, it would have taken us that long to get to the end here. And now, of course, Shmuel was talking to Shaul, and Shmuel told Shaul, that's it, you're finished, and he didn't want to come with him back because his malchus is over. And Shaul is pleading with him and saying to Shaul, please do come back with me, and let's pick it up with Pasuk Chafei. V'atos en eschatosi, now please bear my sins, says Shaul. V'shuvim me, and return with me, v'shtachavel Hashem, and I will bow down to God. V'yom Shmuel Shaul, so Shmuel says to Shaul, lo shuvimach, I'm not going to go back with you. Ki ma'as tisvah Hashem, because he repudiated the word of God. V'yimoscha Hashem, yosmelech Haisor, and Hashem has now rejected you, literally, he has been found you repugnant, and you will no longer be king over Am Yisrael. Now, a couple of things that he's psukim. Mavim sees Shaul is still focused on the onus. Again, he's saying, please, come back with me. It was my fault, and therefore I shouldn't, don't reject me, and I apologize. And he doesn't realize what really is going on here. He doesn't realize that everything is over and done with. He's trying still to get back into Shmuel's good graces, hoping that that will be able to overcome the problem, but he doesn't realize that it's of all no use. Things are finished. The reason why Shmuel rather stresses the pasuk of Chavav, Mios Melech HaYisrael, that you can no longer be a king over Israel, is because to be a king over Am Yisrael, of course, requires that you lead the nation in the right way. And Shaul, of course, did not do that. Shaul was rather led by the nation in the direction in which they wanted to go. Okay, let's do pasuk Chav Zayin, Chav Chayel, Chav Ches. Vayisol Shmuel Aleches. Shmuel turned to go. Vayichazek bichnaf milo vayikara. And he grabbed onto the corner of his garment, and the garment ripped. Vayomer lov Shmuel. So Shmuel said to Shaul, Kara Hashem es mamelchus Yisrael me'alecha. Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Excuse me. Tore off the kingship of Am Yisrael from upon you, Hayom, today, when his son has given it l'reacha to your friend Hatomi Mecca, who is better than you. The question is, who tore whose garment? It's not clear here. If you take a look at Chav Zayin in Rashi, Rashi brings down by Chazay Bichnav Milo Lefi Pshuto Mashmao. The simple shot is punish Shmuel Alechaz, and when Shmuel turned around to go Mechreshol from behind or from Shol, whatever. Achaz Shol Bichnav Shol Shmuel. Shol grabbed onto the hem of Shmuel's coat. Lefi Shol Shol Mevakish Menu Shiyashuv, because Shol wanted him to come back with him. I Shtach Achi Shtach Vebe Gilgal, so they could bow down together in Gilgal. Shol Shemal Moed, which would be where the Almoed was. Umidrash Agadah Chokim Amoroim, and in the Medrash, the Amoroim argue, Yeshomim, some say Milo Shel Shmuel, Kara Shol, that in fact Shol did tear Shmuel's garb. Yeshomim, some say, however, Milo Shel Shaul, Kara Shmuel, that Shmuel ripped Shol's garment. Umasalo Simon Zeh, and he gave him this sign, Mishich Ros Knaf Milo Huyim Loch Tachtav. He who rips Shaul's garment will become king instead of him. In fact, several years later, when David HaMelech was fleeing from Shaul, when he was not yet king, so he found Shaul sleeping in a cave at night, went in and cut off the corner of Shaul's garment to indicate to Shaul that if I wanted to, I could kill you, but I'm sparing your life. So we see that the parallel which this Medrash is picking up on. And that's why Shaul said to David, on the day that David ripped his garment, Yodatik Maloch Timloch, I know that you are going to be the king. Now, that's two pshatim in Rashi. Shmuel, either Shaul ripped Shmuel's garment, or Shmuel ripped Shaul's garment. The Radak brings down a third pshat. The Radak brings down that if you take a look right here on the below the Rashi, immediately below, at the top of the Radak on page 127 here, over Midrash Chokim Bo, he brings down the first Yeshamim Kishmur Karabim Yil Shol. That which you just saw in Rashi, that Shmuel ripped the corner of Shaul's garment. The Ramaz lo bezen, he alluded to him with this. Kimishi chros kanaf milo imloch achrov, that whoever rips Shmuel's Shaul's garment will be king after him. Some say ki Shmuel karam ilo shel atzmo. A third shot, Shmuel ripped his own garment. The Kikain Dakar Shal Tzadikim, because Tzadikim, they have this approach, Rios Kolim, to rice Kriya, Bishosh Ainatiyas Mishabachas, when that which they planted was not successful. So it's kind of a sign of Avelus on Shmuel's part. He was tearing Kriya because Shmuel, this anointing of Shaul was not successful. So we have three pshatim. Shaul tore Shmuel's garment, Shmuel tore Shaul's garment, and the third pshat is that Shmuel tore his own garment. Okay?
That would seem, the last one would be the most grammatically correct.
Right, the subject of the
pasuk
is Shmuel.
And by Yechazik,
right. Right, it sounds like Shmuel's doing everything. That's right, it's a good point. That's since Shaul is not really mentioned in this pasuk, so therefore it sounds like Shmuel is doing everything. Now, a very important Malbim here, which I want to show you. In order to show you the Malbim, I have to turn the page. Well, no, not quite. Kaf Ches is 5 lines from the bottom, on the second column of the Devar Shmuel, on page 127. Kor Hashem, he brings a very interesting metaphysical concept here. Before that, it's explained by us. Kafidi Vrei Ramban, according to the Ramban, Ki Agam Shadvar Hashem Asher Yidaber Yidan Navi Lurah. Even though the word which a Navi says in the name of God as a negative prophecy, through Chalish Nos can be changed by Yidai Tshuva, Ma'as Yitzayim by Tshuva and good deeds. Becholzos, nonetheless, in Ba Eze Pu'ulam Divrei Nevuah, if some activity occurs with the Nevuah, Lo Tishtaneh. Very interesting thing. A Nevuah can change. A Nevuah linked to a Maisa, to an activity, cannot change. Why do you think that is? He explains to that axiomatic. I was going to give a basic explanation. I'll show you. Ki ha-pu'ula tora al-kium ha-dovetechav. The pu'ula shows that the thing is immediately sustained. But why should be? Why should an activity sustain a nevuah more? Any ideas? I think I have an idea. It's just an hypothesis. Yeah, why does it confirm? Why does a deed confirm it? So the deed is like a commitment that the nevuah, even a negative one, will come true. So I think the pshat is, although this is just speculation on my part, sorry, that the nevuah comes true if it's sealed with a deed, because a nevuah normally exists in the world of spirits, in the olam ha-solyonim. Even when a navi prophesizes his nevuah, it's still, in essence, the olam ha-solyonim is just being conveyed to us, right? The speech of the navi is ethereal, it's not substantial. It doesn't come down to the olam ha-maseh, to the world of deed. When you do a deed in conjunction with the nevuah, though, you are actually bringing the nevuah down to this world. It's completely rooted then in this world at that time. And therefore, nevuah, even a negative one, which Hashem could renege, will just remain in the olam haruach, in the world of spirit. Once it becomes connected to a deed, it cannot be reneged about it. Now, let me just expound that a little bit more and say that when it's in the world of ruach, in the world of spirit, so then even if it's not committed to a maisa, to a deed, it still could be Torah, it could be studied, it could be learned, it can have results in a theoretical way. But the moment it becomes anchored in something practical, it's insufficient that it's considered theoretical Torah and intellectual pursuit. Rather, now it must be carried through in this world.
So, give us an example.
Excuse me? All the nevuahs of Golus, which are found in the Golus, which are found in Yishayo, they don't ever have to take place. They don't have to. So what kind of nevuah is it? We can learn Musa from those nevuahs. We can dash in them.
Yeah, but you said once it's transformed into a deed.
Right.
Well, what was it?
Here, where Shmuel ripped his garment, in conjunction with nevuah that Shaul would lose the kingship, that's it.
But that's later.
What do you mean it's later? Right, but now
it doesn't happen simultaneously,
but it must happen. There's no turning back. It must happen now. That's what the Ramban is saying. There's no way to prevent it from occurring.
Where a deed will be involved.
Yes. Where a deed will be involved now, even though the nevuah will take place in the future, but it must happen. Another case of show, you know.
Oh, the deeds will also be involved in the future.
Excuse me?
The deeds will also.
No, but the actual prophecy deed will occur in the future. In other words, for instance, where Hashem, if Hashem prophecies a golus, a Navi prophecies a golus, it doesn't necessarily have to occur. A nevuah l'rah, a negan and nevuah Hashem can renege on. If the nevuah becomes connected with the maaser, for instance, in the famous maaser we have in Yirmiyo, Hashem told Yirmiyo to go buy a field and write shtar and whatever, the whole thing there, in order to show that the golus will take place, but it will end eventually. And therefore, keep the shtar for the end of the 70 years of golus, because you'll have to prove that you bought the field. So there, I'm not sure if it's exactly the same thing, but I would say that there also we find a nevuah which became linked to a maaser in this world. As long as the nevuah is just theoretical, it's being expressed by the Navi, so then it doesn't have to take place, actually, even in the future. Hashem can renege on it. But once the Navi connects it to a maaser, a deed is done in conjunction. It's true, it's not the deed which is prophecy, but it's a maaser which is done in conjunction with nevuah. The nevuah is, so to speak, anchored or has reached into the olam ha-maaser, to our physical world, and therefore can't be reneged upon. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to agree, but that's my olam ha-maaser, yeah. You don't have to agree with what I'm saying. No, machshava tov Hashem never reneges on. A nevuah tov Hashem never reneges on. Nevuah tov Hashem doesn't renege, only nevuah ra. But not a nevuah ra, which is connected to a maaser. Let's see that, how he goes on. V'chein ha-dover, turning the page. There's nothing on the back of this page. Next page. V'chein ha-dover she-nabi le-tov, something which a Navi prophecies for good, v'chein ha-dover will never change, even if it's not connected to a maaser. That's what it says. God ripped the kingship of Israel from upon you. Kriya Samil, the ripping of the coat. Suzuka, do you want to handle? Yeah. Kriya Samil, the ripping of the jacket. Shia Pu'ula Shinati Nevuah, which is the deed which is done in conjunction with Nevuah, Moe She'ena Gzeirah Tzidis, shows it's not a future decree, which might be not hard and fast and concrete. Akshakran Nazi Tzagzeirah, but the Gzeirah took place today. Bo'ovin Shiv She'ishtani Adover, so the thing cannot change. Shkrayotza Po'od already has become, has come to fruition. Vayei, and it is. Vizesh Ne'ema Kola Hayom. It's ripped today. Shekfara kfora hayom nasakzer, since I ripped your coat, since I ripped the garment. So the kriya of the malchus also has occurred. Hi, doesn't that occur in practice? But it's going to occur for sure now. At this point, there's no turning back. Right, the start of the process, right. But even furthermore, if you think that God, another reason why God will not renege on this is when it's another reacha. It's in the world of Tov as well. You know why? Because Hashem will change the good, which he destined for your friend who's better than you. Because he's good and he's righteous. And so therefore the king of Shaul immediately removed him. So I should finally made Ruach Hashem behold Malchus. The spirit of Hashem and the glory of kingship went away immediately, even though he's still king in name. Shal Zemar Kara Yom, and that's what it says, it was ripped today, when it's seen as a Malchus to David and the giving of the kingship to David, Hagam Shlo Yatekav Yil didn't take place immediately, Halo Yayud HaTovi of Shal HaZor, the good destiny Hashem will not renege on. So basically the Bozuk is saying is two things. A, since I did this Maisa now, then Hashem will not renege, even though it's a bad Nevoah. And B, Hashem will not renege, because it's not just a bad Nevoah for you, but it's a good Nevoah for David HaMelech. Yes. If Shaul done Torah Tshuva, he would have survived, but he would not have been able to be king. Might have been able to be a subordinate minister, but not a king. That's it. He lost his kingship. Okay? Pasuk Haftes, very famous Pasuk. The Gam Netzach Yisrael, also the eternity of Israel. Lo Yishakir will not lie. Lo Yinachem, and will not change his mind. Ki Lo Ben Adam Uli Yinachem, because he is not a human being who will change his mind. Now, we have to see Rashi on this Pasuk in Haftes. The Gam Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakir Vim Tomar. And maybe you'll say, like, Mrs. Levy, Ashub Me Avoni Lefanav Al Du Tshuva, from before God. Lo Yoilo, we told some Lucha, Mishnah Slo. It won't help to take back the kingship from he to whom Hashem has given it. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shu Nitzchon Shizor Hashem, who is the Netzach, the eternity and victory of Am Yisrael, Hu Lo Yishaker, he will not lie, Militein HaTov Al Azeh Azeh, to give this good, Shom HaLitein, which he has said to give, to David HaMelech, he's going to give it to David HaMelech. Now, there's a couple of very interesting things in this pasuk. One very important thing in this pasuk, which is that the word Netzach here appears in conjunction with Hashem. Hashem is called the Netzach, the eternity or the victory, same word in Hebrew, of Am Yisrael, and that is the promise given to David HaMelech is, or not given to David HaMelech, but to David, is linked to the word Netzach. Now, Netzach is of course one of the Kabbalistic spheros. When the word Netzach, right, Netzach Anod. As a matter of fact, I can't say what night tonight is in the Omer, but are we finishing Netzach or just beginning Netzach? So maybe it's very, very opportune that we're doing this tonight. Just checking, 1 second. It would be the last day of Netzach. Yep. The last night of Netzach. Tonight is, I don't know, I'm not going to say the number. Right, thank you. It's the meter which corresponds to the blank day of the Omer is Malchus Shebenetzach. Malchus, isn't that a remarkable coincidence?
Yeah.
The night sphere is Malchus, which comes connected to Netzach, which is exactly what we're talking about now. The Netzach Malchus of David coming about through the Netzach Yisrael. Talk about coincidences. Mamish Hashkocha Brothers. In any event, Netzach is connected with which personality? Not with David usually, although Malchus Shebenetzach works out very well, but because Malchus is connected with David, but rather Malchus is normally Netzach is normally connected with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the eternity or the victory of Am Yisrael, and the reason why that is because Moshe Rabbeinu gave us that which is v'chai olam nata b'selchena, that which gives us eternal life, and that which gives us our power of nitzachon, to be victorious and vanquish our enemies, which is Torah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. Aaron is connected with Hod. Hod means the splendor, the majesty, the glory of Kahuna, right. The Kahuna, the Beis HaMikdash, all the ceremony which went on there, all the circumstance, pomp and circumstance, that was Hod. Netzach is not that extrinsic splendor, but rather the intrinsic essence. And the intrinsic essence, of course, which keeps Am Yisrael alive, is the Netzchius of Torah. However, Moshe and David are connected. The way Reb Tzadok puts it in one place is that Moshe brought the Tor Shamayim down to the Oretz, and David HaMelech brought the Oretz up to Shamayim. But Moshe brought the Torah down, and David is king. We mentioned this many times already. The purpose of the king is to bring the nation up to Hashem. The Melech is called the Nagid, to pull, to draw. Nagid means to pull, to draw the nation up to Hashem. So the Moshe and David are connected. The eternity which Moshe Rabbeinu provided us is not complete unless David and Melech comes along and makes sure that when that Torah coming down to us, we then come to meet the challenge and uplift ourselves towards the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu is therefore also called a king. Not in the same way. If you turn to my notes here, I bring down here from Reb Tzadok, that he says in the Chavtes, in the fourth line of my notes, from the Ozru Latzadik and Bezim and Alev, Ushneim Shavim, Moshe and David are equated. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Lev Hashalom, Nikra Gankin Melch, is also called a king. Dugmas, David HaMelech Lashem, just like David. Vainu man malchei rabbanan. Because who are kings? The rabbis are kings. Be melachim lochu in Hashem's Torah. That's where kings are determined. Moshe Rabbeinu love Hashem tchilas haschalas haTorah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the beginning of Torah. The David HaMelech sofa, David HaMelech was the end, not literally the end, but he started the end period of Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down to us, and then we uplifted by creating our new Torah, Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore, there's a very, very tight connection between the Netzach of Moshe and the Netzach of David. And in fact, it goes even further than that. First of all, the Gemara says that that the Shemen HaMishcha, which Moshe Rabbeinu made, the anointing oil, never was, even though they used it to anoint Kohanim and to anoint Melachim, never lacked anything. It always magically refilled itself to symbolize something which is eternal and transcendent. And Shaul was not, the Radak, the beginning of Parakut brings down, Shaul was not anointed with that oil. He was anointed just with regular Farsimon oil. David was. You see the connection? The direct link between Moshe Rabbeinu and David Amel, that eternity, that Netzach, which Moshe Rabbeinu brought down to Am Yisrael, that was continued and that was further sustained, and that was complemented by David HaMelech and David bringing Am Yisrael towards that Malchus of Torah in a practical way by the Malchus on the nation. So therefore when Hashem begins to discuss with us the Malchus of David, he uses the term concerning the Midah, which he's using in order to substantiate it, to sustain it, to create it, is the Midah of Netzach. And this is like the Sphira tonight, which is Malchus Sheb Netzach, or Malchus which comes about through the Netzach of Moshe Rabbeinu. One other thing, the Michta Melio says that Netzach represents Torah Lishma. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah represents Moshe Rabbeinu, means Torah done, Lishma, completely the Shem Shemayim, completely subservient to Hashem's will. And Shaul, as great a tzaddik as he was, he second-guessed Hashem. Right? He tried to send us Hashem with leaving Agog alive. So therefore Hashem says, I need the Midah of Netzach through and through. Something which is eternal, which is true, which will vanquish our enemies the way I want you to. What's that? I need David HaMelech to come along and be completely dedicated to me the way that is required. Okay? Let's go out to Pasuk Lamed. Lamed Lamed for easy Pesukim. Bayom Rechotasi. Shaul says, granted. I said, Atah, however, now, Kabeninah, give me the honor, Neged Zikneami, opposite the elders of my nation, the Neged Yisrael and opposite Am Yisrael, Vishuvi me, and come back with me nonetheless. Vishtachavesi Lashem Lukech, and I bow down to God, your Lord. Interesting. He knows, Shaul knows. It's not Hashem Elokai anymore in the same sense. Whenever somebody sins, so he distances himself from Hashem, so he says Hashem Elokecha. Vayashav Shmuel Achrei Shaul, so Shmuel followed Shaul to give him that honor. Vayishtachu Shaul LaHashem. And Shaul came and bowed down to Hashem. Interesting that, what?
Where are they going
to? It's not clear to me. I don't know exactly. Wherever the camp was. It's interesting that it says that Shaul bowed down, but not Shmuel. I guess Shmuel was willing to appear with him, but not daven with him, because obviously he saw and Shaul, so to speak, in Chayrim by Hashem. He was being reprimanded by Hashem. He didn't feel comfortable davening with him. Now comes the denouement of the whole thing. Shmuel says, bring me Agag, the king of Amalek. Agag, Madonos. And Agag goes to him, Madonos. We'll see what Madonos means in a second. Vayomer Agag, and Agag says, Achein, indeed, Sar Mar Mavis. And we will translate that in a minute as well. Yeah, I haven't said anything yet. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, Vayishtachu is half plural because it says it should have said Vayishtachavu, or Vayishtachaveh, so for a singular. So I guess Vayishtachu is to indicate that Shmuel accompanied him, but Shmuel wasn't really, you know, in other words, he went through them some sort of motions, but not fully. You know, something like that, when things are forced, as the handshake on the White House lawn. If you remember that, we'll have to. Okay? Anyway, what does Madanos mean? Madanos means delicacies, right? So the Targum Yonah said, Madani, makes me Madani. So the Targum and Rashi explain that, most of them first explain, Madanos means Mifanko. He went in a dainty or spoiled way. So very strange thing. He's going to be killed. He's going there in a very dainty way. And this is so strange that the Radak brings down another pshat that Madonos means tied up. He went in chains. He didn't go. In a dainty way, but he went in chains. The Rabag also brings that down. The Rabag says a little bit more here. He says, all right, not at the end of the pasuk. Excuse me. Now, Malbim says, amazing thing. He takes the first pshat even further. He says that Agag went besimcha, with joy, with tanug, and with pleasure. It's going in a great mood to be killed here. Very strange. So what's going on? Very, very strange what's happening here. So I want to see a couple of things, and I'll give you my own shot. First, if you turn the page, the flip side page, I want to do with you a Me'ah Shiloach, from Tzorix Rebbe, the Ishbitzer. The Ishbitzer is talking here about a pasuk in Matos. It says, Vatoa, you know, when they went to fight Midian, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to kill everybody. Men, women, and children, but all the men and all the women, only the women who have never had relations with men, those you can leave alive. Why were they told that? Just reading the on the top left. To be thrown the cable shalem by Jews, the women, they make sure to keep all of their honor internal, because they're afraid to get caught. And, something happened to them. Avala Zohar. But the male, the Torah allowed the Shloach Pamav to take certain risks and to step out, literally, Lilchom, to wage war, the Lichbosh Hatov, and to capture that which is good, Lilchavi, the Torah Yisrael, and bring it back to Amisrael. Vap B'shas HaMeh or Milchoma, in order to do that, the Torah recognized the time of Milchoma, part of Milchoma mitzvahs, you have to keep all the mitzvahs. There, of course, you have to keep many of them, but not all mitzvahs. You have to make sure that everything you took, you can rectify the Asakol Tokhtushik, use it for holiness. But not everything can you. And that's why some things have got to be eradicated. But by a goy, hulefech. Amazing thing he says. That by goyim, shazocha yuchel ischapes begvan tov. That where a goy finds it easy, when he goes out to war, even, to make himself look good. Not look good, handsome, but look good as if he's a holy person. Like it says, what does Madnos mean? He made himself look like he was a good person. And the more tame a guy is, he can make him believe more that he's a highly cultured, urbane, sophisticated individual. Remember the Germans? Right? The more tumah they have, the more they can look kosher. That's like which animal? The pig, right? The pig with the split hooves, right? Okay. Makes himself look kosher. That's Esau. He's stuck with 600 hooves, right? And Shaul fell for it. That's why Bamolek, who's so tame that they can make himself look so tar, he's so evil that he can use the treachery of looking tar, that they're not even allowed to keep their property. Also by the property, but you can come to a chet. But that explains why the females, by the goyim, it wasn't like that, why the females here they can keep alive. That's not for us for tonight, it's too much off on a tangent. But in any event, the point which he's making is that when Agag went Madonos, that means he looked like he was a wonderful person. And that's what led Shaul astray. And when he went to Shmuel, he tried to stray the same trick. He tried to look like he was a very dainty, very, very high, superior human being. And Shmuel could have fallen for it. He didn't, of course. But that's what Shagag was trying to get him to do. That's how the man Shmuel learns Madonos. Arafat can't make himself look good. He's small fry. He's not tummy enough that he can make himself look good. Okay? Now let's turn back to my notes. Because I have here from Reb Tzadok, a slightly different version of the Seder. He also quotes his Rebbe, but in a slightly different way. And he says here, this is from the Poke Dikrim, Vishamati. See, in Pasuk Lamed Beis where I have it here. Vishamati amash kosov agag madanos. I heard in that which says Agag Madanos, Vatagum Yoinason, Kad Mefankon. He looked like he was dainty or spoiled. Kimishu Agag Vipinuko. This is how Reb Tzadok heard it from the Yishbitzer. Anybody saw Agag in that Pinuk? Royal Eshra Mitzah, Teva Anoshi. It was not possible in human nature, Shloisar Barach Modus Vechemo, that he shouldn't have mercy and pity on him. Olof. That's what Agag looked like when he was Madanos. As a tremendous nisayon, a tremendous test, not to have pity on him. We come a come nonetheless. Gamzel mina shamayim. That's also mina shamayim. In other words, you have to be careful. It's a test. But that test, I didn't explain that enough. Although it's a test which has a basis. Mina shamayim means there's reason to have chemla and agag. Till now we are learning that the reason you have chemla and agag is because you look like such a superior person, such a refined person. But Reb Tzadok puts a different spin on it, a spiritual spin on it. He says, why did agag look madonos? You know why? Because what had he done the night before? He had relations. And who was going to come from those relations? Not just Haman. The grandchildren learned Torah and Bnei Brak. Says Reb Tzadok, you know what? That meant that Agag, Tzaka, had a facade which exuded Kedusha. Remember the Mitzri? When Moshe Rabbeinu looked to see Vayifen Kova Kova Yarki Anish, said he killed him because he thought he had no kids who would ever become Jewish. He had an aura of a goy, Ra'ol Me'ad on him. But Agag's aura was an aura of what? Somebody's going to have kill kids or going to be Loim Deterim Bnei Brak. I'll go further. I would say even Haman. Haman said, stock of Russia, but what do we get from Haman? What do we get from Haman? Ayantif. So all of that aura of Kedusha is present in Agag. You don't have to like it, but that's what Reb Tzadok is saying. That's what he's saying here.
Haman didn't know that there would be a Yantif.
That's true. Okay, that's why. All right. You're right. That aura was there. That's how he learns it. That's what Reb Tzadok is saying. Look. He says, "Vayichemlo gedoyel sheisor b'chayisol the chemlo which all of Amisol had." Hey, Agakin also needs was on that spark. Hasi Lotzitzus is going to come out. Vakenti Moshmul as Moshmul said to be God, "Shaul, listen to me. Lo sachmolo, love, don't have any mercy on him because it's going to be very dangerous." She yada sheisor chemlo. He knew that there would be aroused that kind of mercy. Kikasher oime liove legamre. By when Amalek is about to be eradicated, now Reb Tzadok goes on. He says another thing. Another insight based on the same concept. When Amalek is about to be eradicated, this is it, guys. Amalek is about to be eradicated. There's one Amalekite left, the king. You get him, the world is rectified. Mashiach can come. Your mom is standing there, Shmuel Shaul standing there with his dagger like this over Agag. So then, all of a sudden, the world is about to be fulfilled, rectified. Everything is about to come to its fruition. What happens then? Kikasher oime liyavi legamre. Well, when Amalek is about to be eradicated, over also nitzutz kadosh, then it becomes aroused that holy spark sheyesh al korchach b'chol dover v'olam, which must perforce be in everything which is in this world, shemizich hazecha yuso, which sustains it. V'af Amalek. And even Amalek shushoresh ara, which is the source of evil, Shein bo shum tzator, has no good side, chiyuso, nonetheless it has a life force, who may rots mitzad rotsen zetz, because of this will, she rots Hashem isparach, that Hashem desired, she metzius lo ra bolam, that there should be a reality of evil in this world, kidei she amokam l'chir, or there should be free will. So says Reb Tzadok, you know what? Of course by Amalek it's backhanded kedusha. But this kedusha, there has to be some sort of holy purpose for Amalek. So what's the holy purpose for Amalek? The holy purpose for Amalek is to provide that bechira to go awry. You know, that a person should be able to have the free choice, free will, or a person should get rewarded. So there is something, it's a backhand of kedusha which Amalek has, but it's got it. The truth is, what are you supposed to do with that kedusha? Eradicate it. eradicate Amalek, and that way the eradication of Bechira is in and of itself the best way to use an Amalekite. The best Amalekite is a dead Amalekite. But Shaul didn't perceive that. Shaul perceived that Kedusha, misunderstood. He thought that Kedusha can't mean that I'm supposed to eradicate him, and that way the Kedusha will be fulfilled. But rather, he thought, you know how the Kedusha is going to be fulfilled? It must be that he's going to have kids or they're going to be Jewish. Okay? That must be it, so therefore I have to leave him alive. And Shaul, in fact, because he perceived that there was this tremendous potential with Kedusha with Agag, and he thought the Kedusha was, kill him. But Shaul thought the Kedusha was, keep him alive, so he should have those kids. That's how Shaul misread the situation. And Shaul, it's an amazing thing, but Tzadik Gezer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim, Shaul dictated the course of history. So Shaul didn't kill him then, right then. That's what happened. It came about that he had, that the Kedusha was, came through, not the eradication of Amalek, but through Reb Shmuel Bar Shilas coming and learning Torah in Nebrak, and so on and so forth. So that's what happened with Amalek. Amalek went with Agog. Agog went Madonos, says Rhetoric, with Kedusha. That Kedusha, that aura was there. Now that's how the Rhetoric and the Yishbitzer learned that he had this great aura. I would like to learn slightly different here. A little bit off on a variation of the theme. Madonos, of course, the word Madonos comes from the word Eden. What does Eden connote? Connotes a Gan Eden, right? So, because all pleasures really are spiritual. Even a physical pleasure must have a spiritual basis, otherwise the neshama would not enjoy it. So therefore, if Agog, who had conceived that evening a chain which would lead to Purim and to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas as well, he experienced that Eden. He experienced the feeling. He himself perhaps didn't know what it was, but he felt something. He felt he's done something worthwhile in his rotten life. What has he done worthwhile? He has provided now the lineage which will lead to Purim, which will lead to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Something good is going to happen as a result of me. And that's why he goes on to say, the way I interpret the rest of the pasuk, Achein Tsar Marmavis. Indeed, the bitterness of death has been diminished. I feel, he himself didn't know what he did. All he did was impregnated a woman. But he felt an intuition of Kedusha. Something has happened. I feel that the bitterness of death has left me. Now, that's how I interpret the pasuk. Achein Tsar Marmavis. I don't feel so bitter about the impending death anymore. I know that I've done something worthwhile. I feel it. I sense it. There are many other interpretations of Achein Tsar Marmavis. Go back to the pasuk. I want to show you a couple of them. Let's go back to the text. We'll see the Rashi, the Ralbag, and the Malbim. Rashi says, Achein Tsar Marmavis, Be'emes Yodati, I know, Kisar V'Korev Elai Mirus Amavis. Tsar means it's coming close to me. It's veering towards me. Tsar means to veer. So the way the Rashi explains it, Agag says, death is veering towards me. I feel the imminent death. He's not comforting himself. He's saying, the bitterness of death is coming towards me. That's how the Rashi learns it. The Rabag learns it a little bit differently. It's very interesting, Rabag. It's very interesting. Say the Rabag in the fourth line down in the Rabag. It seems Shagav Yarei Agag was afraid Shehishul Lifnei Shmuel, and they brought him before Shmuel, Asur, tied up, V'nikshar, and chained B'kli Baza, with metal chains, because Shmuel was Shmuel when he saw Shmuel. You see Shmuel looks like a Rebbe. Litvisher Rosh Yeshiva. Whatever he looks like, he looks holy, right? He looks like he has Chasidus, Rachmanus. So momentarily Agag lost that bitterness of death. He said to himself, Omar Bemet, he said, Shmuel was going to have mercy on me. I'm saved. I'm no longer in danger. That's what went through Agag's mind. Because sure, even Shmuel mitvarav, which Shmuel understood from that which Agag was saying, that through Shmuel is going to be saved. Shmuel said, guess again. It's not like you think. I will tell you, that you are going to die right now. Misach Zor is a very cruel death. the Zorah Elucha, which you're going to get, Mida Kenegan Mida, corresponding tit for tat, Kasher Shikla Najmi Charbecha, like you cause women to become widows, Kasharak Tabalayim, when you kill their husbands, Kentishkam Najmi Mecha Moscha, so too your mother will become now orphaned, not orphaned, will become Shakul, bereft of you. So the Rabbah learns that, well, Hagag made a mistake. He thought Shmuel was going to have mercy on him. That's why he said the bitterness of death is gone. The Malbim says the exact opposite. It's a little bit of a stretch, the Malbim, the way it fits in the pasuk, but it's cute. If they go to the Malbim, it's on the opposite page here. Lamed Beis, Madonos, Shach B'Simcha V'Tani, going with joy and with pleasure. Rambam says, Ochin Tsar Mar Modis. Mar Miloshon L'Yachlifenu. Mar means to, in Tamura. What does Tamura mean? Tamura? Exchange. So Mar means the change, the exchange. So it says, Mar Miloshon L'Yachlifenu V'Lo Yamir. V'chenine L'Sholom Mar Li Mar. Shemar, Ha'echon Rishon, the first Mar in that pasuk, Mar Li Mar, meaning on Tamura. Means to switch. Kamash Kusad Pirush Hashem. Return Mar means, but the God says, "Say, Imnei Sarmi Menu Tamura Some Others." Oh, I lost the alternative to death, and that I'm happy about. Mar of the alternative. Kiarat Onosli Chaye Habuz. Until now, I was imprisoned, and degraded. Va'Avdus, and I had to wear Chalivus Some Others instead of death penalty. I have life imprisonment, hard labor. What's better for me? Zekoshim Od Beinei Asari Miyotzer Some Others. To have life imprisonment, hard labor, it's harder than death penalty. Now he says, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to undergo this harder penalty. That's why he said, Mar, which means both the alternative to death and the bitterness. To work at hard labor is more difficult than death. So Agag was happy to rather have the death penalty than have life imprisonment, hard labor. So I guess the mob would be against the death penalty. So in any event, so that's why Agag is saying, this difficult alternative to death is over with. Death will be a liberation from what I'm facing now. Now, Vayomer Shmuel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Shmuel says, Kasher Shikla Nashim Charbecha, just like women were made bereft via your sword, so too your mother will be left bereft more than anybody else. And Shmuel was Mishasef Agag before God in Gilgal. That's where they were. Somebody asked me if they were before. I think you asked me. They're in Gilgal. So what does Gilgal mean? Excuse me. What does Vayisha Seif mean? Vayisha Seif, there's a couple interpretations here. Vayisha Seif, basically everybody learns, means that Shmuel cut Shol in two. Not Shol. He cut Agag in two. Cut him in half. That's what Vayisha Seif means. There's also a couple of Shatim in Shikul. Shikul can mean modern day, in Shikul, according to some Farshmir, means he left, Agag left women widows. But in modern day Hebrew, and the other Mefarshim here, learn shikul means a parent who loses a child. A hore shakul is a parent who loses a child, so that's what it means, that Agag left many women without children. Now, what bothers me about the whole thing, about this whole pasuk, is, where's Agag's mother? Dead. Every single Amalekite is dead, but Agag and the girl he impregnated, right? Wherever that was. Yeah, right. But this tribe, it could have been the other Amalekites, but this tribe, it seems, were wiped out. So Shmuel is saying, now your mother is going to be in bad shape. Okay, let's grant the poetic turn of phrase. But why did he use this turn of phrase? So, in order to understand this pasuk a little bit more, I think we have to go allegorical here. And I want to show you an amazing Medrash Tanchuma. This is not for the squeamish, this Medrash Tanchuma. Let's turn to the last page. So the truth is, the last page. So Medrash Tanchuma, the end of Parshas Ki Teitzeh. Shmuel came. See the top line of the last page, my handwriting. Shmuel Navi came parlam and paid retribution. Shemar, it says, Vayishasei Shmuel Sagog, Shmuel Muzmishasei Pagog. What does that mean, Vayishasei? Mal Solo. What do you do to him? Rabbi Lezer Barkano, Amar Rabbi Lezer Barkano says, Hoya mechatech mibsoro kizayis. He cut from Agag's flesh while Agag was alive. Kizayis by kizayis. I know if it's a Chazon Ish kizayis or a Reb Chaim Noah kizayis. Others is given a kizayis. Umachil naamios, and he would give it to Ainos. Take a kizayis, give it to Aina. Take a kizayis, give it to Aina, and so on and so forth. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say, Hamid Arba Kandesin, he put up four rods, Umascholeim, and he stretched. He kept on stretching. Umascholeim, he kept on stretching Agag until Agag got ripped apart. Vahu Amer, and this Agag said, This is geschmack by him. The bitterness of death is gone because he's being broken on this rack here. Says the Mishnah Chumah. Kach memisim as a sorry misos chamuros. It's a covet him to die such a way because to go is such a tremendously terrible torture. That's what they do to really chashma criminals. It's the small fry who get easy deaths. The big guns, we slowly torture them. Now, Rabbi Shmuel bar Avdimi Omar, Bezinei Akum Dono, he judged them like a guy. Lo be'edim, there were no witnesses, lo basura, nor warning. Okay, all those are interesting pshatim, but I don't want to get into them. One can get here into a great deal of, you know, the discussion of torture and its place in Judaism. Maybe it's a topic for Tuesday night shir, torture and halacha, but that's not what I want to discuss right now. I want to discuss the next pshat here. Yes. Yes, right. It's similar. It's interesting. Yes, one could dwell on that, on the connect where there's a comparison between Agag and Rabbi Akiva. I don't want to get into it tonight. As what is Vayisha Seif means? Let's look at this. Sorso Shmuel castrated Agag. The Chassid it says Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel said Kasher Shokla Nashim Charbecha. Just like women were left without their children, what does that mean? So if you take a look, I copy the Eitz Yosef right below that. The Eitz Yosef says, Sarso, Dichsiv, Kavayomer Shmuel said, Kasher Shikla Noshim Charbecha, Dainu. It means, Shoyachotich Milos Yisrael. What does it mean the wives were left childless? Not that Agag killed their children. No. What did Amalek do to Am Yisrael in the desert when they found the Jews? It says that Amalek, when he found the Jews in Parshas Beshach, he was Chotech Miloseim. Amalek castrated the Jews. And it was Chotech Miloseim, Zorkon Klapi Mal, and threw them up to the heavens. So Amalek tried to leave Jews childless. That's Shikul the Noshim, that the women would be bereft of the chance of their husbands burying them, providing them with children. That's how Amalek left Jews childless. Not by killing, but by castrating. They wouldn't have children. So too, from women, you will be bereft. Amecha, not your mother. But Amma is a one of the Hebrew euphemisms for the genitals. Peirush Amma, so it means that your private parts will be destroyed, just like your nation destroyed the private parts of the Jewish men. Shaydei Sirus Amma, so by him being castrated, Tia Ishto Shekula, the wife of Agag, will also not have any children as well. This is remarkable. It's a Medrash. This is Rebbe. Going back to the Medrash. Amar Rebbe Levi. That was Rabbi Yudanossi speaking. Now Levi, who was his Talmud sustains, as he says, Av Moshe Ramazal Yisrael Min HaTorah. Moshe alluded this to Am Yisrael Min HaTorah. Shneemar, it says in Pashto Kiteitse, right before Amalek, Timcha Ezech Amalek, says, Ki Notu Anoshim Yachtov, if two men will have battle together, Ish V'achiv, a man and his brother, the Karvar Ish Eishesach, and one of the women will come, the Koymer, and she would say that she will hold on to the private parts of one of the men who's fighting, the Katsosos Kapo, then you cut off her hand, which we even say is not literally, but it means money. But in any event, there's something going on there which has to do with, you know, the private parts. Maksivacha, what did it say immediately afterwards? Zochas Asher Asolcha Amalek. Remember that which Amalek did. So there's a connection. Now, it's an amazing thing. First of all, we know that there's a prohibition in the Torah to castrate any living creature. Any. Guy, animal, anybody. You're not allowed to castrate any living creature. Yet here, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is saying that that Shmuel castrated our God. We don't even know that he killed our God. All it says about, we assume he killed him afterwards. But all it says about is Vayishah Seif. And according to the Medrash, that means just that he castrated him. Why did he do this? What's going on here? So first, of course, you have to see Reb Tzadok. Then I'll give a shtickle interpretation of my own. Right here, Reb Tzadok says, Vagog Bosu Shor Shinichu Shol, Agog at that time, which Shol left him alive, Hayakon Chasol's entire, his whole nation was in shreds, was in shambles. Nobody left. What was he upset about? He was groaning about Al-Sheinu Meneach Achrov Zer, he was leaving no kids. The Zer Daga Ba, why was he afraid about this? From the root which he had, the Bnei Banav Lomdu Torah B'Rahamin, that his grandchildren learned Torah in Bnei Brach. Kach Kibalti. That's what the Yish B'Tzur taught Reb Tzadok. Valkein, and therefore says, Rak B'Homa Nemar, the Sparta Kavod Ashro. Only by Homa does he say he took honor in his wealth, Viro Banav, and his many children. She Sparta B'Bani was proud that he had children. She couldn't care less about children. He wanted money. More money and more money. And besides that, Haman had many kids. How can Amalek have many kids? I don't understand. The very nature of Amalek is not to have a lot of kids. How can Haman have a lot of kids? What kind of thing is this? It must be that the fact that Haman's grandchildren learned from Nebrach means that Haman had epis Jewish values. Jewish values are children oriented. So therefore, Chenis b'Tanchuma, it says in Tanchuma, and it brings down our medrash, that Amalek has to be castrated. Because Amalek wants to castrate us. So Amalek doesn't want to like the fact that there's so many Jews around. Why? Because he holds that, how could there be so many Jews? It must be that Jews are Bali Taiva. And Jews are bad. And they think, and he thinks that Jews are rooted in some sort of evil. I can't read my handwriting here. But something Asirus Del Acher. And he thinks that Jews are spiritually castrated in that they're following foreign gods and that they're Balei Taiva. In other words, Amalek's perspective on us is that Jews are holy, but only Jews are holy. Jews are Balei Taiva the same like everybody else. They're bigger Balei Taiva than anybody else. And the fact that Jews have children, it's just a Taiva, just a physical thing. Just the fact that they have desires. So their concept is castration. And their concept is not to have kids, or against kids. Their concept is to limit, to destroy, to break down. For us, we have the exact opposite perspective. Yisrael Nesar Asirus L'Shum Birya. We're not allowed to castrate any living creature. Kol Shabbat Sam, anything which is in the land. Gam Lakum, not just, and even a goy. Abuzer Amalek, but Amalek as Kafir near it seems. Misham Lo Nesar, we're not forbidden to castrate them. Kisrael Makirim, why? Because we know Shekoma Shabra Hashem is Baruch Hu Tzorech. Hakol Hakol Tzorech, everything which Hashem made is for a purpose. Vafil Bali Chaim Mazikim, even damaging animals. Vakum and Goyim Vachadoyme. Sherok Vidaito Shen Roy, even though you think they're not don't have a purpose, they do have a purpose. But who doesn't have a purpose? Or whose purpose is to be destroyed in this world? Amalek. So it's us for us to castrate anybody except Amalek. And it's Mida Kenegan Mida, tit for tat. Amalek perceives, wants to castrate us. Why? Because they think Jews are no holier than anybody else. They deny the concept of the Kedusha of Am Yisrael. Therefore we say, Adarabba, you know, you owe, it takes one to know one. Or it takes one to, you're projecting your Mida, you attack it. Someone who has no toelis, no purpose, who must be eradicated, but not eradicated, Shmuel castrated him as well to signify that even stronger. So that's why he did this. Now, it's interesting. I want to go a little bit further here. In this context, first of all, Vayisha Sey probably means Yesh Sof. Yesh Sof. There's an end. In other words, castration is ending something. So Yesh Sey, nobody knows, it never appears anywhere else in Tanakh. So I'm hypothesizing that it comes from the word Yesh Sof. But in any event, it's interesting who made the statement. Who interpreted the pasuk this way? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is one who said in Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, that all of his pleasures, particularly in matters of Priya and Rivya, of matters which have to do with Taiva, were all Hashem Shamayim. He said, Lo nen esim be'olam azeh, I never had any pleasure in this world, afilu be'etzba ketana, even from my little finger. The Mekubalim learned etzba is also a euphemism for something else. But be that as it may, he was a very, very holy person, and every pleasure he had in this world was Hashem Shamayim. And the truth is, it was a special avoda for him to get that way. Originally, he was a very, very reserved, very, very strict person. It says that he wouldn't support poor people who weren't Bnei Torah at the time of famine. And then he was rebuked by one of his talmidim, and he did go and support them. It says in another place that the famous case with the calf, which ran to him and said, "Save me from shechita," and he didn't do it. He said, "Go, because you were created for that." And for 13 years, he had tremendous stomach ailment. Until one day, he had the same yisoyim and succeeded in overcoming it. It was hard for Rebbe. It was not easy for him to get to the point where he could do. First, he was a restrained person, and I assume that means he didn't indulge in pleasures at all. Only later on could he use, after he had changed his personality, after a great deal of work, could he, so to speak, have pleasure, but l'shem shamayim. That everything he did, he could say, is it wasn't olam hazedikah. That's what it was, all olam habadikah. And he's the one who can say, he's the one who can say that Amalek has to be castrated. He says, Amalek, what do they say about us? That we do these things for a purpose of taiva. That's because they don't understand what the taiva of Am Yisrael is. Our taivas, optimally, of course, our taivas are l'shem shamayim. Everything we do, Hashem created us, it's true, with the passion. But the passion which we have, and Rebbe was the living proof, was the passion of using everything l'shem shamayim. And that's why Rebbe was able to create the Mishnayos. He was able to create the Torah Shebaal Peh, put it down in a way in which everything would be, in all of Torah would encompass all of the Bria and all aspects of creation, and every single last thing in the world would be discussed in Torah Shebaal Peh and used l'shem shamayim for the right purpose. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi perceived, he said, Amalek doesn't understand this. That's why Amalek has to be Masuras, because they think that Taiva, if you have Taiva, if you do something, if you eat, if you drink, if you have Puravu, that it's just Olam HaZedek and we're not Kadosh. They misunderstand the whole purpose of Klai Yisrael and all of our Kedusha. The truth is, in this way, a little, if you look it up, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he started out like Shol. Like Shol. Shol is also a restrained, reserved individual. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi ended up like David, with the passion for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth that it's Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi who perceived that the need to make that transition, which Shaul didn't see. Shaul saw that Shaul was completely restrained. Yes, but he didn't have that passion which David HaMelech was going to have. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Takim made that transition. Okay, be that as it may, so what the pasuk says here is that Shmuel says that Shmuel doesn't just kill Amol Agag, but he also castrates him to show Mida Kenegan Mida, that this is Amalek perceives in us that we should be castrated. They don't understand us. On the contrary, it's evil which must be castrated. Who is completely evil without any Kedusha? That's Agag, and that's what he goes ahead and does. Okay, let's finish the Perek. It's late already. Last two Pesukim are easy. Vayel Shmuel, Ramosa Shmuel goes back to Ramah. Vashol Ola Beis Ol Giva Shol, Shol goes to Giva Shol. Vayosav Shmuel Erosa Shol Ad Yomoso. Shmuel did not see Shol again until the day he died. This is not true, by the way. We're going to see in Perikov Dalet that he will see him, but not in a normal way. It'll be interesting when we get to Perikov Dalet how he sees him. But in any event, there's another interpretation, Vayosav, by which means he never ceased seeing him. In other words, despite the fact, another way to interpret was that despite the fact that Shaul lost the kingship, Shmuel didn't cease to see him. Ki Sabel Shaul Shmuel Shaul. Whatever, whether he stopped or didn't stop, it's because Shmuel was in Avelus over Shaul. Hashem Nicham, but Hashem had changed his mind. Ki Imlichas Shaul Yisrael, and that which he made Shaul king over Am Yisrael. Now, it's so blatant, the distinction here between Shmuel who's Misabel and Hashem who's Nicham. right? Now, I know Nichomir doesn't literally mean he was consoled. It means Hashem changed his mind. And literally, what the pasuk means in Pashup Shad is Hashem had changed his mind, Kim Licha Shol Al Yisrael, that he made King Shol king over Israel, forget it. He said, I changed my mind. But I feel there must be another meaning here, simply because of the conjunction of the juxtaposition of Nechama and Avelus. So I'll give you a shtickle of Hasidish Shad in the pasuk, which I thought of, which would explain that connection, which I know is not Pashup Shad, but nonetheless, I like it. It means, if why is a Basar V'dam Avel when somebody dies? Why you go to Avel when somebody dies? Because you perceive that this person's life has been cut short. This person has stopped to exist, so to speak. But that's not a real perspective. In reality, you know why the Hasidim make a Hilula on the yard side of their Rebbe, right? They make a Simcha because in reality, death is a good thing. Because one goes on to the Olam HaEmes and the Olam of Reward. Hashem is happy when tzaddikim die, in a certain respect, because the tzaddikim come to him. So Avelus is only from our perspective. In fact, according to some Sfarim, Avelus is like a Xeris HaKosov. Why should you be Avel? Be happy that he gets to go to the Tzchar. No, it's a Xeris HaKosov, you have to be an Avel nonetheless. But Hashem, he doesn't have that perspective. Hashem is happy. Here too, Shmuel is upset that Shaul loses his kingship. But Hashem, he knows. Shaul was king for whatever years he was. He made an impact. Shaul is part of the eternity of Jewish history, and what we learn from Shaul is something we learn for all eternity. And that which Am Yisrael received from Shaul, being their king, that koyach which comes from Shaul of restraint, which is the beginning, which we need as the basis for David, we have. That Yosef should receive David like he always is supposed to, that we have. So Hashem says, I have a nechama. Hashem says, Vashem nicha. Shmuel has the avelus because his perspective is things are cut short. But my perspective is, my nechama is ki himlich es Shaul Yisrael, that there was a time Shaul was king over Am Yisrael. The fact that Shaul was king for whatever years he was, that's my nechama. It's true that now it has to stop. But I'm happy that the time was there because the impact Shaul was supposed to have was had. And you, Shmuel, are avel because of your perspective. From my perspective, my nechama is, despite the fact they have to take away from Shaul, Shaul achieved what he did. That's positive. That cannot be taken away. It's part of Torah, part of Jewish history for all eternity.